Live
from
welcome to New York.
This is
the Just End the Suffering podcast.
For the win.
Got it! Oh! He broke his ankle!
Follow me to freedom!
Y'all ready for this?
Here's your host, Mike Phillips.
What's up, everybody? Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Just End the Suffering podcast. You're here at Sports Talk, a long-suffering fan. Your host, Mike Phillips. It is draft week here on the podcast. The NFL draft coming up on Thursday, round one, rounds two and three on Friday, and then 4 to 7 on Saturday afternoon. So a lot of fun here. We're going to do our annual draft preview here on the podcast. He's joined in just a few minutes by Bill Bender from the Sporting News. We're going to preview the top prospects in the class. Tell you to know about the quarterbacks, the receivers, the linemen, Brock Bowers, Jet fans. I'll tell you all about that in just a bit. Let's go do our annual mock draft here on the podcast with Alan Austin. Fun little thing here. Alan and I do the mock offline, and we're going to go over it on the podcast and just break down some of the most interesting picks that's coming up at the end of the pod. If you're here on the Just End the Suffering podcast, feel free to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Spotify, Amazon, all usual suspects. Simply search for Just End the Suffering, your favorite podcast platform. You follow episodes there. Feel free to your feedback and starring as well. Help the podcast even better going forward. Check out the YouTube page, Mike Phillips on YouTube. Video version of the conversations with Bill Bender and Alan Austin up on YouTube. Again, Mike Phillips on YouTube. Without any further ado, let's get to our opening tip. We'll give you some headlines to watch here as we get ready for the NFL draft. That's coming up here right after this.
3, 2, 1.
Y'all ready for this?
The opening tip.
And here we go.
All right, opening tip time here. The NFL draft starts on Thursday with round one. We have a lot of intrigue here. We have a lot of quarterbacks to go early. Perhaps the first four picks could all be quarterbacks. And both local teams are sitting inside the top 10 with options to play with here. The quarterback run should be interesting. Chicago traded Justin Fields away, their first round pick from just 3 years ago, to the Steelers for a bag of footballs, basically, to pick in all likelihood Caleb Williams number one. Washington traded their starter from last year, Sam Howell, to Seattle, and the Commanders are going to have their choice between Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and J.J. McCarthy, number two. New England, new head coach, Jerod Mayo, takes over Bill Belichick. Sounds like they're planning to take a quarterback at three from who's left. Leading the first pivot point of the draft, either with Arizona at number four or the Chargers, number five. The Cardinals are locked in with Kyler Murray as their starting quarterback. They could use that pick, sit there, take an elite left tackle like Joe Alt to protect Kyler Murray, or the best receiver prospect in years in Marvin Harrison Jr. Chargers could do the exact same thing. The difference is being that Justin Herbert is their quarterback, but they could take a lineman. They need receivers after they had to move on from a bunch of guys to the cap consideration here. Both teams could sit put and make their choices. Or they could shop the slot to a quarterback needy team. The Vikings picked up an extra first-round pick. We see speculation they want to trade up and get a quarterback. The Broncos moved off from Russell Wilson, need a quarterback. The Raiders don't really have a long-term answer at quarterback. They could be looking for one. So those three teams you're watching here, see if they try and trade up and get a guy. That puts the Giants in about number six. They could be in a market for a receiver like Marvin Harrison or Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers from LSU, another guy to watch there. Or a tackle, see a guy they like. They know they need some moves there, but you never have enough offensive linemen, especially when Evan Neal struggled in his first 2 years. There have also been rumors that Joe Shane likes J.J. McCarthy at Michigan. So a trade could be in play. He feels like he has to have J.J. McCarthy. And you have to figure out to go to Cardinals at four because somebody will probably leapfrog you if you don't. The Jets at 10, as we're hoping, as many quarterbacks go as possible because it increases the likelihood an impact player, receiver, or tackle gets them. J.J. Douglas did a good job filling out his depth chart, so he isn't constrained having to take a specific position, given the ability to go best player available. Getting another receiver, pair with Garrett Wilson, give them insurance on Mike Williams, whoever's coming off the knee surgery and might not be ready to start a training camp. That'd be massive. A tackle would be a smart play for them, both in the short term, because they did pick up Morgan Moses and Tyron Smith. Both had injury issues last year. He's missed a couple games. Or the long term, because both of those guys are only under contract for this season. Getting a tackle now to get them insurance for this year, protect Aaron Rodgers, but they step in and start at a spot next year and one of these guys leaves, that'd be smart. Tight end Brock Bowers also be linked to the Jets a lot. Interesting fit here. The Jets don't really have a superstar tight end. They have a solid guy in Tyler Conklin. They have a younger guy in Jeremy Rucker. Hasn't done much. He is a guy who's gotten a lot of hype in the Kyle Pitts mold, so be a guy who can flex out, block, catch, and run multiple routes, be a big weapon for Aaron Rodgers, mismatch these guys. And we've seen how valuable the great tight ends can be. We saw it in the Super Bowl with Travis Kelce for the Chiefs and George Kittle for the 49ers. Adding a guy like that for Rodgers could really enhance this offense in a year the Jets trying to win right now. We'll keep an eye on these situations here as the week unfolds. We get ready for the NFL draft. But up next, we get ready for some NFL draft coverage here. We're joined by Bill Bender of the Sporting News, and we're going to preview the prospects we could be hearing call their names called early on Thursday and perhaps on Friday, Saturday as well. That's going to come up here right after this. All right, we are back here on the podcast. NFL draft is coming up this week. We are getting ready to break down the draft ball angle. So we're going to take a look at some of the top prospects on the board for ahead of Thursday's first round. Joining as always, great friend of the podcast. He covers college football for the Sporting News. Bill Bender is here. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on here. And obviously, I want to start at the top with Caleb Williams, the projected number one pick. The Bears trade away Justin Fields to the Steelers for a bag of balls, basically to have the right to take Williams and set their franchise up again here. What are the Bears getting in Caleb Williams?
Oh, I mean, you know, a fantastic playmaker. Heisman Trophy caliber, obviously, won it once. The way he can go off script, moves like a running back when he runs. And I say that by, like, his lower portion of his body. I've been told that, you know, ability to scramble. I don't know about you. I don't do the Mahomes comparison. I just don't think there's anybody that compares to Mahomes as a pro game right now. But some of those playmaking skills are there. And I'm also not as hung up on the don't ask me to talk about Caleb Williams' fingernails is what I'm saying. I don't care about that part. I'm more interested in how he leads his team.
Yeah, for sure here. And obviously, I know we've heard complaints about the phone, about the pink phone, and like him being emotional through a loss here. But like in terms of the hype this guy is getting here, I mean, I feel like every few years I get, oh, this is the best guy since Andrew Luck comparisons. I feel like he's the latest on that bill. Like in terms of like comparing to like Trevor Lawrence, for example, coming out of college, you think he's getting more or less hype than Trevor Lawrence was?
Probably less than Trevor. Trevor in college was about as slam dunk as you could be, because you would see the way that the ball came off his hand when he threw the football. But, you know, back to what you were saying about the phone, like if it's coming from guys my age in their 40s, I wouldn't pay attention to it. Now, if the criticism was coming from, you know, guys that have played with him or guys that were in the locker room with him, then you would start to worry, right? But what some 40-year-old man says, it has nothing to do with Caleb Williams. Now, he'll have to prove it at the next level. He's going to a franchise that's been a quarterback killer for, you know, ever, pretty much. And those are the things that I would be more concerned about, that they make sure that they get enough help around Caleb Williams, unlike Justin Fields, who didn't have much when he was in Chicago.
Yeah, that's for sure here. And it seems like Williams is a fair lock to go number one pick here. And we might have potential that quarterbacks go 2, 3, 4 here. This is that tier of Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Jaden McCarthy. See the next three guys on the board. May and Daniels a tick above McCarthy, depending on who you talk to here. So if you were to rank these guys in terms of like who would you want if you were an NFL team, like how would you rank them?
Mine might be a little bit different. I mean, I think you gotta take Caleb on the upside factor one, though I think Drake May is actually right there. You know, I see what Drake May's been able to do at North Carolina the last 2 years with far less offensive firepower, with a defense that faltered. Yeah, he slid a little bit some games down the stretch, but he's an all-ball, no-nonsense quarterback that I think will do a nice job. Jaden's interesting to me because of how far he came along and developed in his time at LSU. I mean, if you'd have asked you this question after his debut against Florida State 2 years ago, I've been like, well, no, he's not going to play in the NFL. But he does have a skill set that I enjoy to watch, and I think he'll do fine. He'd be next. JJ's interesting. I mean, I'm really high on him. Some people aren't. I like the intangibles with him. I like the arm. I also I've kind of held on this one. I think he's going to have a better NFL. I think he'll do better in some ways in the NFL than he did in college, because it'll be able to showcase him more than maybe Michigan did.
Yeah, that's for sure here. I feel like the Daniels compare is interesting here because obviously a lot of people are going to look at Lamar Jackson as a Heisman winner, like unconventional skill set, where a team that drafts him needs to have a plan on how to use him here. It makes me curious, like, where the fit's going to be for Jaden Daniels. I feel like he has a lot of, like, probably the highest ceiling anybody outside Williams in this group, but I feel like you have to coach him correctly if you get it out of him.
Oh, it'd be neat if Washington took him, you know, and then they go, and then you have Lamar and Jaden on the beltway and the way that both of those guys play. I mean, I think it's easy to compare him to Lamar. His numbers were very comparable to Lamar's at LSU last season. And, you know, the way that he's developed as a passer has been really good to see. Like I said, I think he sees the field better now than when he did come to LSU. So, yeah, I think he's got that high upside. You know, New England, I'm really curious to see what they're going to do because it's exactly what I just told you about Chicago with them. You know, yeah, it's great. You drafted a quarterback. Hey, you did when you drafted Mac Jones. You better help him.
Yeah, that's for sure. We'll see if they can help him here. And obviously, the top of this, top on the board other than the quarterback, people see Marvin Harrison Jr. from Ohio State. And Ohio State has used a lot of great receivers in recent years. Garrett Wilson, Jet fans are aware of him. Chris Olave down in New Orleans here. But it feels like Marvin Harrison feels the best receiver come out of this Ohio State in recent memory. Would you agree with that? You think he's better than these other guys who just came out?
I think he's the safest pick in the draft.
Yeah.
I do. I think if you know what you're getting. Stud receiver, dimension, route running, ability to contort his body in ridiculous ways to make catches. I mean, how many times when you watched Ohio State the last couple of years did you the jaw drop watching him? It was amazing. He's that guy. And not to mention his father was pretty good, you know, as a Hall of Fame receiver, one of the best route runners maybe ever. So I think, yeah, all of that's there, and he'll have a great career. And it sounds like Arizona. Now, doesn't shortchange Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze. Those guys are wide receiver ones as well. So, and this has the potential. I didn't believe it until I really dug into it. This does have the potential. 10 years down the line, we could be talking about it as the greatest wide receiver class ever. And that's knowing that Marvin Harrison, Terrell Owens, same class.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy to think about here. And I asked about the receiver class because they mentioned Nabers, Roma Dunze. It feels like this receiver group is very, very deep. I feel like if you need a playmaker here, there's going to be about like 5 or 6 to go round one. There's another like 10 that could be helpful to you on day two.
Well, that's where the game's headed, right? I mean, we saw this. You saw the difference in what drafting Ja'Marr Chase can do for you. And the Bengals did that when they paired him with Joe Burrow. You've seen it's a little bit different than maybe when Terrell Owens was drafted. I mean, the mismatches are on the outside. The game's spread out. It's a pass-first league. We know. I'm not telling you anything you already don't know. But I'm just saying that's more reason why you're seeing receivers kind of replace what running back used to be. This is the outside of quarterback, and in some ways, the same as quarterback. It's a high-demand position in the first round.
Yeah, that's for sure here. And one guy who's not really a receiver but can as receiver traits is tight end Brock Bowers here, who feels like there's so much excitement about how great he can be in the NFL. There's a lot of comparisons to Kyle Pitts, who just came out, went 4th overall 2 years ago. There's a lot of buzz. The Jets could take him at 10 if they don't have a receiver or tackle they like there. What do you think about what Brock Bowers can do at the next level?
He's pretty special. I mean, here's the thing. I'm working on some safe picks for the NFL draft at Sporting News, and to me, if you watch the guy dominate like I did for the last 2 years, fantastic route runner, took over the Auburn game last year. That's the one, if I was Bowers, I would, if you're watching Bowers, say, pop that one in, see how a tight end can take over a game, how he's a mismatch, can run the football. I think he threw it a couple times. They would run reverses with him. He is complete package. You know, and then in the interview room, he's no nonsense. You're not going to get a lot of quotable, you know, stuff that you're going to use for flowery features, but that's fine. He's an all-ball guy, and I think he's going to do very well at the next level.
Yeah, definitely say so. That's interesting here to consider here. Like, a lot of teams are hesitant to take a tight end early because they feel, you know, the value of the pick may not be as high as if you hit on a receiver or a tackle or, like, a premier, like, premier pass rusher here, like, do you think Bowers is like that special that he's worth that high a pick where they're talking about picking him?
Jim Harbaugh might think so. Yeah. And I think that's the broad assumption, which not necessarily a Jim Harbaugh I can't say that, I guess, that he's not a Jim Harbaugh tight end. I could. He's not like a Kobe Fleener type or a Colston Loveland type like he had at Michigan. He's more of a kind of mismatched tight end in the slot. I don't even think Jim Harbaugh coached anybody like this guy. But I think the mismatches he can create in the middle of the field, and that is part of the game. I mean, look no further than what he does with Travis Kelce to look what an NFL team could potentially do with Brock Bowers and creating that mismatch. So, yeah, I think he is. You mentioned Kyle Pitts. It's inherently risky. I get it, to take a tight end with a top five pick. But Bowers would be one of those guys that I'd be willing to do it for.
Yeah, sounds good here. Obviously, we had a lot of offensive tackles last year who did well. Because we have a smaller group at the top of the D group overall. We've heard Joe Alt's the top guy from most boards. Olu Fashanu, J.C. Latham here. What do you like to think of the tackle class?
Ah, it's the other position group where there's everybody there. I like Alt a lot. I like Waga, the Oregon State tackle. I like Fashanu. I've watched Fashanu really closely in the Michigan-Ohio State games. He got beat a couple times, but nothing that you were like, oh, this guy's a bust. I mean, it is a tackle. Mims, the Georgia tackle. There's another guy that probably will fall behind those guys this year, but still could end up being a Pro Bowl tackle at the next level. So, yeah, I definitely like this tackle class a lot. I think there's depth. The three positions, tackle, quarterback, receiver, make that a little weird. I mean, because then you're kind of looking at the other side of the ball, and I know we're going to do that. And, you know, not a stretch to say that 17 to 18 players could be quarterback, receiver, tackle in this first round.
Yeah, I mean, there's also rumors, like I've seen some mocks are, yeah, where people don't even take a defender in the top 10 picks. It almost never happens. So in terms of defensive class here, I know we have a few pass rushers. We have a good defensive tackle. We have a few corners here. Like, what do you think of the top defenders on the board here?
Well, I mean, Dallas Turner is one of those guys. You know, I can rarely go wrong with an Alabama first-round pick. They're always there. Chop Robinson's another guy that definitely could be one of those edge rushers. Jared Verse. I like Jared Verse a lot. I like Jared Verse more than most. I think those are the type of guys that could go. The cornerback position's interesting. I like Kenyon Mitchell. You know, I don't know how you do this, Mike, but I don't necessarily look at Pro Football Focus as an end-all be-all, but I can tell you that Kenyon Mitchell was the top corner in coverage. The overall rating for Pro Football Focus each of the last two seasons with 50% of their snaps in coverage. That's all I need right there. That's how you find Ahmad Gardner. That's how you find Devin Witherspoon. You find the guys that can cover.
Yeah, that's for sure here. I know, like, Byron Murphy's a good defensive tackle option as well here. It just feels like that, like, a lot of the defensive players that get pushed down because the top of the offensive, like, class is so stacked.
Yeah, and it is. And that doesn't mean, like, Dallas Turner won't have an impact. It won't mean that Jerzon Newton's another guy I've watched just consistently produce at Illinois. And not that I don't have too many worries about him being a buff because he's been in an NFL-type defense for the last 2 years, going against teams that have more than Illinois does and continue. I mean, 50-plus tackles the last 2 years. That out of the interior, that's invaluable when you're able to do that. So, I think he's the guy to keep an eye on as well.
Yeah, and we talked, or you mentioned a second ago, you think that obviously quarterback, receiver, and offensive tackle seem the most depth in this class. In terms of the quarterback depth here, like, what do you think about guys like Bo Nix and Michael Penix, even the next couple quarterbacks on the board here? Like, do you think of a shot while this guy sneaks into the first round, or do you think that these are guys that are high day two picks?
I think there's a shot they could both go in the first round because of the, like we're talking about, the supply and demand. For those of us who have a daughter, it's like Taylor Swift tickets, man. When they're on the market, they're going to go. And quarterbacks are going to go. And Penix and Nix are certainly two that I think will go. And then you start to get into, okay, well, who are the day two guys? You know, where does Spencer Rattler and Michael Pratt go? They're going to get a lot of attention. And I tell people, you know, you look back at last year's draft, Aiden O'Connell was that middle round steal. And that happens. Like, you can laugh and say, well, how was he a steal? He played a lot of football last year for a guy that was a fourth, fifth-round pick for the Raiders. So there'll be that kind of guy in this draft as well, and it could be Michael Pratt or Rattler.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go to the other way here. Like, you know about where the most depth is. Like, if what position are you looking at here? You say, like, if I need this, I'm in trouble. Like, there's not a lot here.
Well, I mean, there is a lot of edge rushers. There's the, you know, that middle linebacker. It's not real deep. You'd have to go down to like a Jeremiah Trotter, those type guys that, that, you know, they got to be able to play coverage as well. And I know how the game has changed a little bit. Not the strongest draft there. I think interior line, I always look at that. I think, you know, one guy to watch, and it's not deep, but Zach Frazier, I think, is going to have a really good NFL career. The center out of West Virginia. I know he broke his leg, but, you know, I just look at him as one of those guys that could absolutely be a steal.
You also feel like running back's not getting a lot of attention either. I don't feel like there's that one guy last year was like Bijan Robinson or Jahmyr Gibbs that was just like everybody's clamoring to get that guy on their roster. I feel like there's a lot of teams that are content to wait for like day two or day three for the running backs.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, you still get a Blake Corum, Jonathan Taylor, a guy that obviously suffered torn ACL. Bucky Irving going to get some attention, the Oregon running back. So, there's some guys. I like Blake Corum more than most, but I understand getting there. And one of the frequent comparisons with Blake Corum right now is Devin Singletary. Now, you may say, well, what has Devin Singletary done? I would argue he's still been a contributor on a pretty good NFL team for a couple years here. And, you know, maybe not a 1,500-yard back, but I think that's what you're getting at. These guys aren't guys that are going to be like Bijan, where they step up and get the number of touches that he got as a rookie.
Yeah, for sure. And the last thing here is, obviously, we know, if you follow your mocks, you know the big names, you know who everybody's looking at here. Who are some sleepers that you're looking at here that you feel like aren't getting enough attention, you feel like could be good players in the next level?
Well, I mentioned Zach Frazier. I really like him, the center, you know. Interesting to me. He's going to be very polarizing at the quarterback position, but I like his game. The receiver class is so deep. Leggett, the Carolina receiver. I don't know how high he'll go, but all he did was make plays for them all the time. So, I mean, those are a couple that I'm keeping an eye on. That's two Gamecocks. Man, I didn't know I was going to do that on the podcast today. But, I think definitely those are the guys to keep an eye on. And as always with the quarterback position, you start to lean ahead and think, all right, well, what about if I don't want a quarterback this year, who's my guy next year? And believe it or not, Shedeur Sanders will probably be at the top of that list, at or near the top of that list next season.
Yeah, I know one guy, Jet fans, think have been watching here because it's talk that Joe Douglas is going to draft a quarterback late to sort of develop behind Aaron Rodgers here. It's like Jordan Travis from Florida State is interesting. I feel like he would have been a higher day two pick if he didn't tear his ACL at the end of the season. What do you think about him as a potential like late round option for a team looking to develop a quarterback?
Yeah, you know, he is. He's definitely interesting, and I think we'll keep an eye on him as it goes. I like his playmaking skills. I like his accuracy got better, and he wasn't just a runner, and he did well at Jordan at Florida State this year until he had that injury. Now, I like him as a day two / day three pick, much like, I don't want to even say Duggan or Bennett. I think he'll be better than those guys at the next level. But, I hope he comes back and has a chance because he's played a lot of college football, and that experience will matter at the next level. He'll be a solid backup to start.
Yeah, it feels like sort of like the Hendon Hooker thing last year at the Lions where they took him in the top of the second round. I think Jarvis will be a little later to the depth of the class.
Yeah, why didn't you just say that earlier and cut me off? Because Hendon Hooker is a great comparison. Yeah, that is. That's one that, you know, he'll have some time to develop behind. And you know, when he gets a chance to play, he'll probably let it rip.
Absolutely, Bill. Thanks a lot of time. Really appreciate it. People want to follow your coverage of college football and follow you on social media. How can they do that?
Yeah, I'm at BillBender92 at SportingNews.com. And you can just follow all our draft coverage there. We'll have plenty of it. We're looking forward to it. And, you know, I know you and I like catch up every month or so, and this was a good conversation.
Absolutely, Bill. Thanks for all the time. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
All right, the draft preview podcast continues here. We just had our prospect breakdown with Bill Bender of the Sporting News. Now we're going to do our annual tradition. We're going to do the full mock draft for round one. Joining me today, as always, is the great Alan Austin. What's up, Alan? How are you?
Mike, good to be back. Our favorite time of, well, one of our favorite times of year, the NFL draft. So it's going to be exciting. This is one of the more exciting top half of the drafts I can imagine, I can remember in a long time.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of craziness going on here. And a lot of, potentially we have quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, 4, if everything breaks right. There's a lot of receivers, there's a lot of tackles, there's a lot of big names.
A lot of big names. And our Jets and Giants are once again in the top 10. Yeah, so the Giants face that daunted PTSD-inspiring 6 pick.
Yep.
So here we go.
Yeah, I believe the last one they had was, what, Evan Neal?
We had Evan Neal at 5, but we took Jones at 6, which Shudder.
Yeah, Shudder here. So just to set up the order here, the mock draft, like Alan and I alternated picks. I did odds and evens and one exception. I took the Jet pick and I gave him 11 in exchange. So just to be clear, we did not do trades in the mock because it's been too complicated, but we will discuss at points in the draft where we think the trades will happen because we know this 1 to 32 is not staying in this exact order.
Sounds good.
All right, so we'll start at the top here. We'll start with the quarterbacks. 1, 2, 3. Caleb Williams, Chicago. Jaden Daniels to Washington. Drake May, New England. That feels like in some combination, 2 and 3 makes sense here. So what are your thoughts on these three quarterbacks in terms of where they're going to go?
Well, I think Caleb's obvious. Washington, if they're choosing between solely Daniels and May, I think Daniels is the obvious pick. I'm not sure how serious they are in McCarthy, but I don't think McCarthy's worth the number 2 overall pick. So I went with Daniels for Washington. I just think there's a bigger upside, more athleticism, and I think that's what Washington feels they need to compete in the NFC. So I think they go Daniels.
Yeah, I think the home run pick there, if you're Washington, is Jaden Daniels. I feel like Drake May has a solid floor where I think he's going to be a good starter, potentially a great. Jaden Daniels, I think, yes, he could miss and be a bust, but like if he hits, you might have like Lamar Jackson light for Washington.
I think he is the pick. I think May has fallen down a lot of guys' draft boards as we get closer after more studying of the tape, but I don't think May is going to fall out of that top 3, so I go Daniels 2.
Yeah, that sounds good here. This is, again, no trades in this mock draft here. So we have 4 and 5, a pair of receivers. Arizona taking Marvin Harrison Jr. The Chargers taking Malik Nabers at LSU after they let all their weapons go in the offseason here. I think receiver makes sense for both of these teams, but this could very well, I think this is where we're going to see the first trade of the draft. It's one of these two teams get moved down.
I agree. Vikings have 2 first-round picks. I think they are surely going to be one of the teams that trades into the top 5.
Yeah, I think the Vikings could be in the mix there. Denver could go up for a quarterback. They don't really have on their roster. The Raiders have an option here. And your team at 6, I know Joe Shane has said, I'm not willing to go up yet, but like could be a smokescreen.
Could be. I mean, at the end of the day, as a Giant fan, I'm not getting my hopes up. There are 2, since we're talking about the Giants now, I'll say a couple things. One, when you took Nabers at 5, my stomach dropped. Because if anything happens on that night where we're not taking one of the big quarterbacks, I want it to be Nabers. Since you took Nabers, I went with Joe Alt. A few reasons. I said I want the Giants to take one of the big quarterbacks. I don't want that quarterback to be J.J. McCarthy. And if it is J.J. McCarthy, I want it to be because they traded their pick and slid back a bit. I don't want McCarthy at 6. It rings of Daniel Jones all over again. I know there are different types of quarterbacks, but my personal rankings, if we're not counting Daniels and Williams, I like Penix, and I think they can get him later on in the draft. So if we can get Drake May, we take him. But I don't want McCarthy at this spot. Nabers would be who I want. If we can't get Nabers, Evan Neal is a revolving door at right tackle, so we've got to improve, and I think we go Joe Alt.
Interesting check, too, because the Giants spent all that money in the offseason on the free agent lineman. They brought in Alan Munor. They brought in, I think, one other lineman to shore up their group. So it would be a good pick, though, to get them insurance on the line.
I think Joe Alt's already better than all of them, so all of the insurance picks. So if you can improve the line with the best available guy in the draft at that spot, I think you got to do it.
Yeah, we'll go back to the Chargers a second as well and the Cardinals with the picks here. Harrison feels like the safest pick outside the quarterbacks. Nabers, obviously. The Charger thing is interesting because the Chargers, obviously, trade away Keenan Allen. They cut Mike Williams for salary cap reasons. They don't really have anything for Herbert to throw to here. And we know this is sort of the same dilemma the Bengals faced a few years ago when they had Burrow and said, do we get the guy for him to catch passes or protect him? They went with the pass catch. I feel like that's what the Chargers will do.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. They need the weapons. Herbert needs people to throw to. Well, there were a lot of memes going around after they traded Allen and dropped Williams that he's going to be throwing to himself. So it was, you know, it was funny, but it's a serious concern if you're a Chargers fan.
Yep. Next up here, the next 3 picks on the board, Tennessee taking tackle Olufushan. It's like tackle is locked for Tennessee, so that makes sense. Leiatu Latu, the edge rusher from UCLA, first defensive player, Allen.
Yes, I think, you know, when you're looking at that roster, when you're looking at who's available, it makes sense. I mean, Latu is fantastic. His stock really rose towards the end of the season. And Atlanta's got offense right now. Like, Kirk Cousins came in, and all of their pieces are automatically better. Drake London, Kyle Pitts. Bijan's already a superstar. So I feel like they're good, but they need some defensive help. And I think while there are some enticing offensive weapons on the board, if you can get the best edge rusher, I think that's the move they make.
Yeah, I think they need to go defense because, I mean, I don't know how many years in a row you can go, like, skills and player top 10 of the draft and, like, have a balanced roster. I think they have a lot of offensive pieces already.
I agree.
Yeah. Number 9, they have the Bears taking Rome Odunze, the receiver from Washington, which this will be not an ideal board for the Jets where you have the top 3 receivers, top 2 tackles off the board. So, with the Jet pick, I went Brock Bowers. I mean, it feels like the tea leaves are set up that they're going to take him. I know Peter Schrager is well connected to the Jets. He's basically nailed their picks the last, like, 5 years in his mock. He gave them Bowers in his mock draft here. This is not, like, ideal position value at number 10 because ideally you like a receiver on a rookie contract. But what's given the way the board has played here, I think Bowers, position value-wise, is a good fit for the Jets because, like, they need more weapons for Rodgers, and he's the best one left there.
I think it's the pick you have to make if that's the way the board shakes out when it comes to that pick. And you could also trade back, but I don't think it's worth it. I think you grab Bowers there because he potentially could be one of the most impactful players this year on his first year. So I think with Rodgers on a limited run here, could be his last year, even though he says it might not be. I think you got to go Bowers and give him that big tight end.
Yeah, plus I know there's a little smoke going around. The Jets may poke around a trade-up if, like, let's say Minnesota, we're going to talk about in a minute here, goes out to 4 and gets quarterback and Marvin Harrison is sitting there at 5. There's a little smoke with Jets may poke around and see if they can get up there.
Wow, combining Harrison with Garrett Wilson, the Buckeye combo, that'd be pretty insane.
That would be like, you add Mike Williams to that receiver room, that would be like one of the best trios in the NFL.
That'd be unbelievable.
Yep.
We'll see when it happens, but it'd be nice to dream about.
Yeah, let's go to the next pick here with the Vikings. J.J. McCarthy at 11. This could well be a pick at 4 if the Vikings trade up here, but I do feel like J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota makes a lot of sense because Sam Darnold feels like your classic placeholder pick where, like, he's a guy, he's the top 3 former pick. Get some upside, see if we can grow him. If not, like, J.J. McCarthy can step in, like, in the middle of the year.
Yep, I think it's a perfect fit. I think McCarthy's someone who won't be able to come in and start right away. So I think having him sit behind Darnold, who's an obvious lame duck, is a nice move. And I think, you know, it'd be funny if he fell to 11. I don't think he will, but the Vikings would surely, if they don't trade up, snatch him up here.
Yeah, that's for sure. Let's go down the board a little bit here with some picks. Denver taking Jerzon Newton, DT from Illinois. Vegas, J.C. Latham, OT Alabama. So both filling in the trenches here. These two teams, I feel like, also could be trade-up possibilities for a quarterback, depending on how the board plays out.
Yeah, and it depends how each of these teams values each of these guys. So there's 6 notable quarterbacks who could theoretically go in the first round. I don't think all 6 do, but I could see 5 of them going. And there's a couple teams here where if they value Penix or Nix really high, they'll just take them here without having to trade up. And while it seems crazy to think that Bo Nix will be taken, it's the nature of the league right now, and I wouldn't entirely be surprised.
Yeah, this is something, I mean, there's a smoke about Bo Nix to the Raiders at 13. So I know that there's
right.
a possibility.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah.
These teams also, I could see, like, maybe if somebody values, like, a edge rusher or a corner, maybe drop back a few picks and get your quarterback then, get a little extra draft capital.
I agree with that as well. It's a good take.
Yeah, so next set of picks here, New Orleans takes edge Jared Verse, started Albions at Florida State. Colts fill their secondary, Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, corner. Dallas Turner, Seattle, edge rusher, Terrion Arnold, cornerback from Alabama, 17 to Jacksonville. Those Alabama defenders flying off the board here.
Yeah, and it's, you know, any other year, you could see a Dallas Turner or Jared Verse from Florida State or Terrion Arnold going in the top 10, but there's so many quarterback needy teams, and this is one of the more quarterback rich drafts. These guys are falling a bit, but in other years, I feel like they get drafted higher.
Yeah. 18, I think this is the pick I've seen every single mock everywhere. Cincinnati taking Byron Murphy from Texas, defensive tackle. Yeah, they've lost DJ Reader here. Like, I mean, apart from Caleb Williams at 1, this feels like the biggest lock of the draft.
Yeah, and if Newton were to fall, they could take him. But I think even though it's late to guarantee a pick, this is as close to a guarantee you'll see in the draft.
Yeah, the Rams back in the first round for the first time since 2016 when they took Jared Goff. So, Chop Robinson.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That is wild. I hate to cut you off, but that's wild.
It's crazy, too, because they were in that F10 picks mode for years. They were just dealing off ones for either quarterbacks or like, superstars.
Jalen Ramsey
was in there. Von Miller was in the mix for high picks. Stafford. So, now they get a pick here, and it's a good time to have a one after Aaron Donald retired.
Yeah, Chop Robinson's a great fit there, and I do think they will go D-line edge rusher come their time in the draft.
Yeah. Next up here, go next couple picks here. Pittsburgh takes Cooper Yan, the quarterback from Iowa. Miami takes Talese Fonga, the offensive tackle from Oregon State. Philly, Nate Wiggins, the corner out of Clemson here. And here's a pick for the Eagles here because James Bradbury, we saw, declined a little bit, and Darius Slay was hurt for the Eagles last year. They do have some other needs on the line as well, so could go a few ways for Philly.
Yeah, I thought Philly would go with best available at one of their dire needs. Wiggins is pretty solid. I think he was someone who preseason his stock was a little higher, but it really has a way of taking these guys who slip in the draft and making them valuable. They did it with the Kobe Dean. They've done it with others, and I think that one thing they really want to shore up is defense, and that cornerback situation was exploited a little bit late in the season, like you said, with Bradbury. It's some fresh legs in that secondary, and I think they're going to need them. So I think they go cornerback, and I think Wiggins is a nice fit for them.
Yep, next picks here. Minnesota, we're assuming they're not going to have this pick, but if they did keep it, I gave them a lineman, Graham Barton from Duke, to kick the guard. This is the most interesting pick we had in the back end here. You gave Dallas Michael Penix from Washington at 24, and Dak's in a contract year. So what was the rationale behind that pick?
Oh, the rationale is simple. I don't think Trey Lance is ever going to be a thing. I don't think many people do. I know Mike McCarthy is a fan of Trey Lance's, but Mike McCarthy may not be with this team next year. I think Penix is a solid, sure thing NFL quarterback. I don't think he'll ever be Mahomes or Burrow, but I think he will be in that second tier of quarterbacks who can get you to the dance, who can win games. And I think giving him a year to grow will be a really nice touch. And as a big Penix fan and as not as a big Giants fan, I would hate this combination. But I think this late in the draft, if he's still sitting there, Dallas would be foolish not to take Penix and put him on that roster preparing for next year.
Is you're assuming that Dak Prescott leaves after next year with this pick?
So, yes. And I think Jerry will do drastic things if this team doesn't succeed. And I think one thing he will do to make a statement is not bring Dak back. Could be foolish. There's not a lot of reliable quarterbacks out there, but at the same time, how many times can Dak choke before a change is made? Jerry will still be the GM next year. So it's not like whoever he takes here, if it's a quarterback, will be someone else's pick. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, if he takes Penix here, regardless of who the head coach is next year, it's still Jerry's team. So there's no worrying about the new regime. If he takes Penix here, it doesn't matter who the head coach is next year, Penix is the quarterback. And that goes for anybody they take. So I'm pretty confident this is also a way to light a fire under Dak. So I think Penix here would be the move.
Yeah, if I had to pick, we can give Dallas an offensive lineman after Tyron Smith went to the Jets and they lost their center. But it'll be interesting way if that plays out.
And Dallas always, you know, they're struggling financially right now. They have to pay CD. They have to pay Parsons. Getting a new quarterback and getting that set under the rookie contract may be the move they make as well.
Yep, so next couple of picks here, Green Bay offensive lineman, Amarius Mims, a tackle from Georgia. Tampa has their secondary, Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama, the corner. Arizona's second first-round pick, Darius Robinson, defensive tackle from Missouri. Buffalo at 28 after trading Stephon Diggs. You gave them Brian Thomas, the receiver from LSU, so I think this is clear. I think this is not as much as we said since Byron Murphy. Buffalo, the receiver, feels like a lock also.
It does. And you know what? There's no guarantee it'll be Thomas at that late in the draft. And you know how Buffalo is. They might have spotted something from somebody else, like a Ladd McConkey or a Keon Coleman, that they like a lot better and could make the pick there. And they're not afraid of taking somebody earlier than their positional value. So really, it could be any number of guys, but I agree that I think it'll be a receiver. But I think Thomas would be a good fit with them. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's the route they go.
Yep, last four picks here. Detroit takes Braden Fisk, the defensive tackle from Florida State. Baltimore, Troy Fatanu, the offensive tackle from Washington. Sarasota, another offensive tackle, Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. Kansas City rounds out the first round with Ennis Rakestraw, the corner from Missouri, to replace the recently recently traded. I forget who the big name corner was. They just traded away. So,
right. Yeah, I mean, at that, when you're the Chiefs, you're just plugging and placing. So the draft doesn't, you know, the draft is depth for you when you're the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think they're just going to slot in people at positions they need to grow a little bit. And I think could be, again, same thing with Buffalo and the wide receiver. It could be any one number of guys, but I think they go secondary at the end of the first round.
Yeah, they traded Legarius Sneed, the Titans, going to go ahead and pay him what he wanted on the open market. So that's just something where you deal with the team with these elite quarterbacks, or eventually you got to, like, remove on from some guys who could be in your core and just and draft their replacements.
Yep.
Yeah, and the last thing here, we talk about some trades in the top of the round here. I think the bottom of the first round could have a lot of potential teams trying to trade back in and get that team option for the fifth year for guys. So I look at Kansas City down there. Baltimore feels like a team that'd be willing to do that. Detroit has a pretty stacked roster. Especially if you're looking for a team, if Knicks or Panthers hasn't gone yet, you could see a team jump in here, get that pick, and say, let's just have the guy with the ability to get the fifth-year option.
Yeah, it's not a bad move. I just, you know, you mentioned a couple quarterback-needy teams. I feel like there's also, like, the Saints could be a sleeper for one of these quarterbacks. Like, a team like that, especially a Bo Nix type who's not going to be ready to start day one in the NFL, they could be a team who tries to slide up and take someone like that. It just depends on who values who. And that's the thing about draft season. You're going to hear 10 different things about the same team and the same guys. So you never really know. It's going to be a fun night next Thursday, Mike.
Yeah, we have a very exciting night for sure here, Alan. Thanks for all the time. I really appreciate it. People want to follow you on social media. How can they do that?
So Twitter is Alan_Austin_. And Instagram is AlanAustinSports. It's going to probably try to get a little bit more active on there, but Twitter's the way to go right now. And Mike, I really appreciate it. Really enjoyed coming on. And the folks at home, if you're not familiar with me, go back and listen to any of the Mike Flanagan-themed Halloween episodes. Some good stuff there. And Mike, I know they just finished wrapping The Life of Chuck, so we should be talking about that in a few months here.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for them to put it on the calendar because it's not, I think it's in post right now, so.
Yep.
Hopefully, I feel like Flanagan is aiming to get in that October window for a release date, so hopefully they're able to pull it off.
Absolutely. And one more thing for all those people out there who don't know me, diehard Detroit Tigers fan, go Tigers.
Yep, it sounds good. Early baseball season so far. We'll keep an eye on stuff. Alan, thanks all the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Mike. Have a great one.
All right, and that will do it for this week's podcast. I'd like my guest Bill Bender for coming on to preview the NFL draft. I also want to thank Alan Austin for taking time to go through our mock draft as well. A lot of fun stuff with the draft here on the podcast. You're having good stuff like this podcast, including my look at the review for Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scargiver. We're going to go into a full deep dive on that in Sky Guys in a few weeks, but I gave you my initial thoughts on the movie here on the blog at justinthesuffering.wordpress.com. You can check out the Sky Guys podcast, as mentioned here. We're getting towards the end of our Bad Batch coverage here. Episode 13 recaps in the podcast feed now. Episode 14 dropping on Wednesday, so that podcast will be in the feed on Wednesday night. So, again, same podcast platform, mentioned at the top of the podcast. You want to follow the Sky Guys there. You can also follow me on social media, mphillips331. It's mphillips331. And that's going to do it here for the Just and the Suffering podcast. Coming up next week on the podcast, we're going to recap the NFL draft. How the locals do. We get who made the biggest mistake, who had the biggest steal, and more. Until then, hope you have a good week, everybody.
This has been the Just End the Suffering podcast.
I'm out.